Just not biblically. Come on. It's true. Yeah. All right, 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by.
Oh, you're so funny.
What? I am. I'm amusing. I'm damn funny. All right. 503-7. That wasn't me anyway. That was Scotty.
I know.
Is this day two or three? What?
Nothing.
Is it day two or three, Sarah?
Oh, my God. Stop.
It's two by my count.
Same here. I've only heard about it.
Has there been a secret middle date?
I wish you guys had both stopped talking.
Has there been a secret middle date that we didn't know about?
Do you have Jim Roop?
No. No, we have all the time in the world.
Why isn't he calling? The one line doesn't seem to be working. Stop looking at me.
I'm just curious.
You are not curious.
I am curious.
You're trying to embarrass me.
I am not. We don't have to talk about it if you don't want to.
Okay, I don't want to.
No, but we do. I'm just...
Is it time for confession?
I'm curious. Okay, you're not allowed to do that because it's just creepy when you do it. Scotty, this is what Scotty says during the break. Because we're in the break talking. And now, can I... Now?
No!
Now, wait a minute.
What?
It depends on what... Well, microphone's off. Wait a second. Microphone's
off. Wait, hold on. Are we turning the microphones off to discuss something? And
yes.
Then we're going to... Okay, don't... Jeff McGinley, don't freak out.
Here, I'll play something.
Oh, where's my popcorn bed?
That Ooh, really, I love that bed.
That was the gayest thing you've ever said. You sounded so unbelievably gay just then. I love that. Ooh, yummy. All right, I have nothing to play. Do you have a...
Okay, yeah, I'm sure I have something.
All right, this is... Oh, wait. Oh, no, I do have something here. Hold on, let me play this instead. This is really a long way to go to a dumb bed. Wait, hold on a second. This is... let me play this. And... All right, we're going to play this while we have an off-air conference. You just stay right there.
I don't know.
Let's turn that off. Okay, all I was going to say is, that wasn't awkward. All I was going to, you know, this is Scotty's fault, by the way. He's an instigator. He's an instigator. I respect your boundaries. See, Scotty,
yeah,
does not.
Yeah, let me talk about my period again.
Oh, you know, please.
I'm not the one who's bringing it up. It was Rick.
We have forward momentum on this show, and we have so moved on from the period.
Are you becoming gay?
No. No, really.
Okay, Scotty, when this music bed started flamboyantly shrieked, I love this song.
No, seriously. I like the popcorn song.
Did you actually just say the phrase, we have so moved on? And did you just say it with that inflection?
I might have.
Okay. Anywho, okay. I was just going to say that Scotty's the instigator because I was not going to make any observations about your personal life except to ask if you had another date with your gentleman caller tonight. That was all I was going to ask.
Yeah, date number two.
No. I'm not trying to be smart about it. I'm not trying to be an ass. I'm just saying, you know, the guy, the Raul, who you went out with to the Pro Bowl place. I was just
going
to say.
No, I don't have a date. We're just going and getting a drink.
Why do you fight the label of date? Why? You know why? It's because we're going into the break, and we're coming after the break, and Scotty's like, so is this date number two or number three? Bada-bing! And which I would never do. I was just asking if you had a date tonight, and if it was with a guy, there's nothing to be ashamed. Sarah, we are all human. There's nothing to be ashamed.
Well, no, I did not have a date.
I have
a drink.
You grilled me about my friggin' shrink for an hour early.
I still got nothing out of you.
What do you want me to say?
Did he help you at all?
No! No, he didn't.
Did you get to talk about some problems you don't get to talk to people about usually?
Yes. No. I don't know.
Did you cry?
Yes. I sat and wept like a small child.
I hope that you do sometimes. No, I'm serious. Like, I hope that you just kind of let out whatever it is that's bothering you.
Are we really having this conversation?
Seriously,
are you really telling me you want me to cry?
For the past couple of months, you've been a little crazy, Rick. And it's not just me.
Who else has said that?
Concerned friends.
Who? Who has said that? You can tell me. I demand that you tell me. Why don't you shut your cake hole over there? You can tell me. Who said that I'm... If who
I'm just
said
saying
what,
you have a lot of people who care about you who are looking out for you.
Oh, this is I'm not a junkie. We're not having an intervention. Rick, we're having this meeting because we don't care about you.
Aren't you addicted to hearing your own voice, being on the radio a little
bit? Well, that's just ego. Baby, that's just plain old vanity. You know that? And I'm sure I'm the only one in this room that has that problem, by the way. I do not
have an ego.
How can you lie like that? Have you seen this new modeling portfolio I did?
Oh, pish posh.
I'm the only one here that wants to be the center of attention. I'm sure there's nobody else in this room that likes to be looked at a lot.
Yeah, but not to the extent to which you do.
Well, that's only because I've been doing it longer. When you've been doing this for 20 years, I say, sounding like an old person for the 50th time today. Seriously, when you've been doing this for 20 years, you'll find it as hard to turn off.
You realize that you're launching a personal attack on me right now because I just brought up the fact that some people might be worried about you.
I'm not launching.
So now you're calling me vain.
I'm not launching a personal attack.
You're deflecting.
I am not. I'm not deflecting. Clyde deflects. I don't deflect.
Then what are you doing?
I'm saying that we have Jim Roop from Los Angeles, ladies and gentlemen, on the Rick Emerson radio program. Hello, Jim. How are you today?
Howdy.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Well, anyway, this is awkward.
That was beautiful dialogue between you two.
That's why. See, I couldn't understand why he wasn't opening up. It's because he wants to impress you, Jim Roop.
It's because he was waiting on hold. And
it's too late. I've already been impressed.
Jim can't know that I have feelings. All right. It's what we do. Speaking of feelings... Blah, 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 feeling a car smash into you. There's no segue here. Brandy, the R&B singer, so Tim and I were talking about this. Here's a few things. Brandy, who was on Moesha and so forth, and is now saying that she may be charged with vehicular manslaughter in a freeway crash that killed a woman, but this was like 6 weeks ago or 2 months ago. How is it that we didn't, and it was in California where it was presumably witnessed by dozens of people. There were 911 calls. How is it that nobody heard about this?
I guess they tried to keep it as quiet as possible for as long as, I mean, it was 20 days before her publicist released an apology, and that's one of the reasons why the family just filed a $50 million wrongful death lawsuit against her.
Oh, that's...
I just got back from that news conference.
Oh, and so, well, that's a lawsuit that they will almost certainly win, or at least be able to settle in a lucrative
sense. They'll settle it. $50 million is, I mean, that's a lot of money. I don't know that Moesha has that kind of money. She wasn't Moesha, was she? She was just on the show.
Moesha got it.
Right?
I guess, but she hadn't had a hit single or a TV show in a while. It's been a long time. It's been a bit of a hard road for Brandy.
I think the last thing she did was that Cinderella show, wasn't it? Something like that? She was Cinderella?
Maybe. I mean, this is one of those things where they file for 50, but they'll take 5, right?
Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, half the family lives in Morocco, so this is just being done mainly through an attorney.
Tim Riley, who is unfortunately not here today, Tim Riley, who lived in Los Angeles for a long time, was making this up. She was going 65 miles an hour, and he had a question about how it's even possible to go 65 miles an hour on a Los Angeles freeway.
There are certain times of day that you can. And this was December 30th, man. This is that limbo week between Christmas and New Year's. There was not a whole lot going on. The problem is traffic often just comes to a screeching halt for no apparent reason. And unless you're paying attention, if you're doing 65, you're parking in somebody's back seat. And that's exactly what happened with Brandy that particular day. She smashed into that lady, sent her into the center divider, and then she was hit by another car.
This is like a bad, like a three, and it was a three-car pileup.
Yeah, it was bad news. Yeah. Now, I remember the day that accident happened because the accident made, you know, the afternoon traffic reports, but I had no idea for several days that it involved a celebrity of any kind.
That's just so weird. I mean, that really is the exception to the rule in Los Angeles, because, I mean, Los Angeles, you get the feeling that TMZ.com just has a helicopter with infrared cameras just flying over every
single... But even they weren't on it right away.
That's what I'm saying. It's amazing that it was underneath the radar for so long, so...
Well, you know, nobody knows her by her last name. It's Norwood. So Brandy Norwood, that comes up on a police scanner, or that comes up on an accident report. You look at, who's Brandy Norwood? It doesn't say R&B singer Brandy, otherwise known as Brandy.
That's true. That's true.
And one of the witnesses there was saying that she, at the scene of the accident, was saying, "Oh, this is all my fault. This is all my fault."
Oh, don't ever say that.
Right there, they got witnesses that She's admitting guilt.
Yeah, you're never supposed to say the big... Is it the best thing about this, do you ever look at your insurance card? It's kind of creepy. If you read, at least my company, I will not reveal the... I don't want to give the insurance company away, because maybe they're the only ones who do this, but I don't think so. My insurance company, you look at the card, and it says in big letters like, you know, regardless of what happened, admit no guilt, it says in like a big bold letter, admit nothing. You know, they can't prove it if you don't admit it. And like it basically... I'm not saying that my insurance company instructs me to lie, but the card does say that regardless of circumstances, admit no guilt to anyone. Presumably even the police, that you're just supposed to clam up and be like, I got nothing. You know, just silence. So, especially because
that's good advice. You know, keep your mouth shut. The less said, the better.
That's what I'm saying. Well, you know, it's like I had a friend of mine who was a homicide cop, and he said that the thing is, he's like a guy, not that I want to tell criminals to get away with stuff, but he said, you know, if they ever get you in the interrogation room, attention thieves, attention criminals of all stripes, if you're ever in the interrogation room, his whole thing is, as a cop, he's like, you know, if you're in the interrogation room, that means that they can't prove it. Like, they don't bother to interrogate people that they have dead to rights with video or with DNA or whatever. He's like, if they have you in the interrogation room, they need a confession because they don't have it. And so if you just shut up, they'll continue to not have it, and you'll probably walk. And he says it's amazing how many people don't realize that, and so they start blubbering.
Now, it's well known that criminals, much like female sidekicks with modeling portfolios, have egos. And they want to talk. They want to tell you what's going on.
Zing.
And they want to say, look what I did, and almost got away with it.
That's what I'm saying.
So that's one reason why, and every cop will tell you, the egos is what gives a lot of criminals away.
Yes, ego is the downfall of many people. All right.
I'm not talking.
Thank you, Jim Roop. All right. Enjoy your...
I didn't make her angry, did I?
No. It's all... It's
that was, I thought it was... I was just trying to keep the running bit going.
We'll talk to you later, Jim.
Somebody's sleeping on the couch tonight. All right.
I'm going to have to go kick my dog now.
All right. That's all your fault, sir. Jim Roop, enjoy your Southern California day, my friend.
Thank you.
Oh, there you go. Jim Roop, ladies and gentlemen. CNN, the radio correspondent to the Stars. Fantastic.
First, fantastic.
And we're done. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right, what time is it? 1:17. All right, that was Jim Roop. Thank you. Let's make sure.
I'm just going to turn it off.
Thank you. So, Scotty was smiling, actually. But I think Scotty was... Were you smirking at the board work, Scotty?
No, I thought that was great.
With Jim? Jim's always great. Jim's fantastic. All right, 503-733-2970. See, he was just trying to fit in. He's trying to be one of the gang. Okay. 503-733-2970. And I also, by the way, and I do blame Scotty for this unpleasant vibe in the studio. Not unpleasant, awkward vibe in the studio. I do blame Scotty because Scotty's also the one who, as we were coming back from break, said, hey, we got all that champagne from the Marconi show. You could make it a champagne date. And then he pauses. No. And then to make sure that, like, there's no doubt that you're going to make some dirt, he goes, you could make it a champagne date. With sex. Or something like that. Some like...
Scotty is all on this champagne kick. Like, he thinks... I don't know.
I think there's a vicarious living going on with Scotty J.
Yeah, he was... No. He's like, don't you ever date anyone again. You live your 20s as a single woman.
Live for me, Sarah Dillon.
I never said any of this, but you guys can run with it.
Okay.
You told it. You said it on the air. You were on the air, and you're like, you shouldn't get married in your 20s. You should live deep and suck out the marrow of life.
You shouldn't even date in your 20s.
Yes. I remember you saying that.
Where are you going tonight?
Oh, like she's gonna tell us now.
We just went
on
day
two or three. Bum, bum, boom.
Just where's the drink gonna be at?
All right, it's 503, Scotty.
Scotty.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Thank you for coming by. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Coming to the bottom of the hour, more from the Ministry of Truth. Later on, top five, the Suburban. Suburban, shake your head at me. I can't control him. I don't have his... I cannot control his microphone for him. Scotty J is...
You know, I've just made a point in my mind. I'm never going to tell you anything that's going on in my personal life ever again, either of you.
Who are you talking to?
Both of you.
I didn't reveal anything today. I didn't reveal anything that you have not already revealed on the air. The listeners know you... It's like, and this is like every awkward conversation in romantic comedy. Look, I know you're dating somebody, so I'm just going to...
I'm not dating someone.
I'm saying the listeners know you have gone on dates. That's the only point I'm making. That's the only point that I was making. Yes. Is this day number two or day number three? How much longer are we going to be subjected to fun and happy Sarah Dillon? How long until we leave this particular tunnel of fun, Sarah?
Oh.
At least, even if this is my, even if this is, even
this
if
this is your doing.
It's not my doing.
I walked into the studio this morning in a perfectly fine mood, and you know what you're doing. You're sitting there grumbling, going, "Oh, I can't get the microphone to work," and you were all pissy.
I'm not.
You, it was from the first second I was here.
Not true at all. I was simply.
It
I was,
is true.
I
you're
was,
mental.
I'm not mental. I'm not mental. You got to quit saying that. You say that, people are going to think that I'm having some sort of a.
Can I read you an email from a listener I just got?
If you tell me who the listener is.
Okay, sure.
You don't have to give their full name. Is this someone I know?
I don't know.
All right. Well, just
Amanda, hug and kiss.
It's not me. I wouldn't say anything really mean. I keep those to myself.
Fine. Oh, thanks. Rick, those you just read and then delete.
This guy's name is Patrick.
All right.
Rick's mental breakdown. Sarah, to the question, what started Rick's unraveling? I offer the following. What happened about a month or two ago that changed Rick?
See, but he's only. But you are.
Was it the holidays? Not likely, since the holidays he has seen many holidays and presumably coped with them in the past. Adjusting to a new job? Well, we all know he's been hired and fired many times. So also unlikely. My thought is it has something to do with the hair. Something happened in Seattle. Cutting his head tweaked something and only returning with Dr. Frankenstein can correct the problem.
Yes, they replaced my brain with Folgers.
So it's not just me. I'm...
The only reason that whoever that is, Patrick, and I don't know who Patrick is, I don't think. I mean, I know a lot of Patricks, but the only reason that Patrick is saying what happened to Rick a month ago is because you put it in his head by saying you've been mental for the last month. You've been saying that for so long that now the listeners, and I'm not coming down the listeners. They're just reciting what you have already said to be true.
Rick, you reached a point in your life where you finally decided that you couldn't get through another week without booking an appointment with a shrink. That's not me projecting. That's you taking a problem and trying to do something with it.
Oh, that's fine.
You're being very mean to me.
I'm not being very mean to you. What have I said today that's mean? I said that you were going on a date and that Scotty was making inappropriate comments about it. I haven't said anything.
And then you
mean.
Said that I had an ego. And then you said that I'm, like, PMS-y and mean.
You are PMS-y, and you apologized last night for being mean.
Last night? I don't think I am today.
All right. I'm just saying any... And as far as you having an ego, I'm the first to admit that I have a bigger ego probably than all the other people in the room put together. I'm just saying that nobody sits behind a microphone for a living and spends 20 hours a week getting complete strangers to pay attention to them because they're normal and well-adjusted. And I'm not, and
that's
I'm under...
True. And we know that we're not normal and well-adjusted. We're both insane.
That's totally...
Scotty J is... I don't even know.
Scotty J is...
I don't even know where to start with that.
I don't... The best part is you just totally put your hand up to silence.
Oh, nice.
You're just like, I can't even deal with you. You are a ball of twine. It will take me years to unravel. Like, you just completely shut him down with the premier. Now, listen, let me be very clear about this. I'm not saying you have a star syndrome or that you're hard to get along with or that your ego gets in the way of everything. All I'm saying is that there is a certain...
I know there's something in all of us.
There's a certain look at me that comes with anybody who works in the entertainment industry. That's all I'm... And that's not bad. But it's not like, I mean, because... Like,
I know, we're all searching for validation.
Well, it's not just that. Because you always hear that the biggest phobia is people who is speaking in front of a crowd, which, I don't know, maybe you don't like to do that in person.
I hate it.
See, not me.
I have a terrifying fear of speaking
in public. I've never had that problem. Like, in school, I was always, you know, put me up in front of the class, put me in front of the student assembly, put me in front of whatever. I mean, I've done drama, and I've done debate, and I've done whatever, and I've figured bigger than Jesus... bigger than Jesus over the course of however long. I was in front of 4,000 people, probably. And that's, you know. Who just typed that on the screen? That's an interesting observation.
It's not me. Can I interject a couple quick things?
I'm just saying, well, all right. We should break. We should break because I don't wish for there to be unpleasantness. I'm just saying it was noted that maybe this is not all coming from my side of the table, Sarah Dillon. What?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are we breaking? Is the break being thrust upon me? Right. It's the Rick Emerson program. We'll be back after this. It won't be awkward at all, I'm sure. I'm sure everything will be resolved and ironed out by the time we return. You stay there. 503-733-2970. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Top 5 Suburban Perspective coming up. Don't go anywhere.
To remember, and you said I'm a player, but you're me. You said I'm a surrender. You said I'm a surrender.
you're denying your mental breakdown. 132. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Oh, is this, I'm looking at the phone here, is this Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio? Let's welcome out of the Rick Emerson Pro from Film Fever. Scott Daly, hello, sir.
Hello.
Hey,
how are you? How's everyone in the new studio?
What's up? It's glorious. It's fantastic. What's up with you,
I can
brother?
Tell. Speaking of inflated egos, since Aaron was unable to call in this morning, I wanted to let everyone know that we are recording our episode of Film Fever Radio live tonight at Tony Starlight's place at 8:30.
Excellent.
Over in the glorious Hollywood District.
Fantastic. And when you do that, do you have like audience participation, or is just people kind of sitting there watching Aaron drink?
A little bit of both. Fantastic. A little bit of both. We encourage people to join in the conversation, and tonight is our 42nd episode, therefore we are celebrating science fiction, and we encourage folks to bring your towels as well.
That's a little hitchhiker's guide to the
galaxy. We're going to have a good time. So I just want to call everyone now and say welcome to the studio. I'm excited to come in Friday and check out the new digs.
Excellent. We'll see you then, man.
Yes. Thank
All
you,
All right,
guys.
There you go. Scott Daly, ladies and gentlemen, from filmpeopleradio.com. I was not going to relay that, by the way. Scotty's over there mouthing the words. Are they going to snap towels at each other? Seriously, what is up with you, man?
I don't know.
You've become like all homo erectus.
Well, you said bring a towel. It was funny.
And then in your head, that immediately translates to men in a room snapping towels at each other. What better time is there?
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
We
should do it again. All right. I'll take another run at that. All right, ladies and gentlemen.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth.
This is Scotty J. Yeah. Okay, there you go. That's how you do it.
That's Scotty J impersonation brought to you by Rick Emerson.
In your face.
This is the real Scotty J filling in for Tim Riley at AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Uh-huh.
In Las Vegas, an intoxicated 28-year-old man apparently broke into a secure area near McCarran International Airport and stole a luggage cart, tug car, before being arrested early Tuesday. He allegedly stole this tug car and began to drive it on airport property. The Federal Aviation Administration spokesman Ian Greger said the tug damaged the right wing of a G4 Gulfstream business jet.
You kind of sound like Christopher Reeve sometimes when you talk. Remember Christopher Reeve in the latter days of his life?
Okay.
He would sort of be able to push out a sentence, and then he would stop and go... And then he would stop while the thing filled with all that hose that was like jammed into his lungs would fill him back up. He could basically only exhale, and he would just form his words as he exhaled. Stole a Gulfstream jet and was driving around the airport. And then it would fill him back up like some sort of Mylar balloon, and then he would just spit all the air back out again. That's kind of how you read the news.
Okay, we'll no longer give pregnant pauses. Secondly...
Okay. Let's move on to a different story.
Okay. That was the
when I say
man.
Sometimes when I say move on, that's code for let's transition to a different story. All right.
And now for democracy on Democrats. I wish. For some democracy on the march.
Here's your democracy on the march for Tuesday with Scotty J.
In Dubai, the United Arab Emirates, a second U.S. aircraft carrier strike group now steaming toward the Middle East, is Washington's way of warning Iran to back down in its attempts to dominate the region. A top U.S. diplomat said here Tuesday, named Nicholas Burns, the U.S. Undersecretary of State for Political Affairs, ruled out direct negotiations with Iran and said a reapproachment between Washington and Tehran was not possible until Iran halts its uranium enrichment.
Where's Tehran?
That's in Iran.
Right? Okay, well done. Just checking. All right.
I had to think about that.
Okay.
Well, Iran is going to have to understand the United States will protect the interests if Iran seeks to confront us. U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has said the U.S. buildup in the Gulf was intended to impress on Iran that the four-year war in Iraq has not made America vulnerable.
No, of course not. No, in no way has it. In no way has it spread our military too thin or taxed our resources around the globe. We're as ready as we ever were to fight wars on 15 different fronts. Isn't that right, Scotty?
Yes, sir.
All right. There's your democracy on the march for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show. Scotty J at the Ministry of Truth.
O.J. Simpson is back in the news again. O.J. Simpson wants to write another book, this time a nonfiction account about his life with his murdered ex-wife. One of his lawyers tells ABC News, attorney Yale Gallanter says his phone has been ringing off the hook with offers to buy a book about his life with Nicole Simpson.
We have this question for Scotty J. Oh, this goes back to last hour when we were talking about confession. About Scotty J's God. Rick, is there anything that Scotty J's bipolar enabling God will not forgive? I mean, could you kill a guy and then say, sorry, God, as you walk it off, as you walk it off and it's okay, or what? Inquiring minds want to know about Scotty's Protestantism. Scotty?
That's an interesting question because I've often thought the same thing. Because what they teach us is that God forgives everybody, you know. And so,
do you believe?
It always made me wonder, what about all the people that go out and kill and rape and maim and hurt and all that? Do they get forgiven as well?
And so what is the answer to that?
I do not have the answer. I'm still struggling with that question myself. It's a struggle.
The many thousands of things you must struggle with on a daily basis. I'm sometimes amazed you can even tie your shoes and get out of the house. Rick, it is, this email says, oh, this is from Todd the Corpse, who is a Sunday school teacher. Rick, it is true that in Christianity we simply need to pray to Jesus and ask for forgiveness. However, the trick is you actually have to mean it when you ask and repeat and repent by trying to rectify future behavior. Just the thought that Scott, I just thought that Scotty J would like to know that simply asking for forgiveness outside the Hooter Shack doesn't really work if you don't mean it. FYI, it says.
I always mean it.
Yeah, you always mean it. Yeah. Yeah, men always mean it right afterward. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. That shouldn't have happened. That can never happen again. All right, here's Scotty J.
Time now for your Britney Watch.
Here's your Britney Watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson radio program. It's your sounder. How did you not know when it ended? You made this sounder.
Well, Britney has landed herself in hot water again after taking her young son, Sean Preston, on a shopping trip for naughty underwear in West Hollywood.
Is there? First of all, I never thought that this is a sad time. God damn, I suck. This is a sad time. It's not so much me as it just is this whole situation. I never thought we would reach a point where I would not find the idea of Britney Spears buying... First of all, I don't like the word naughty. What is it, naughty under things? You know what naughty sounds like? Naughty sounds like somebody who's not really all that deviant, but desperately wants to sound like they are. Naughty under things, naughty underwear is something bought by really uninteresting housefrous who want to feel like they're being perverted. You know what I mean? And it just means that it's got like pink frilly lace around it somewhere and like a heart on the backside by the ass. So I never thought we would reach a time when Britney Spears buying underwear of some perverse nature was unappealing to me. But not only is it unappealing, it's completely revolting to me. Especially if she's taking her kid along. Speaking of goddamn therapy in the future, Britney Spears' skanky kid having to go along with his whole mom to buy things to cover her crotch. Now, that's no good. I mean, that's just, seriously, it's like you just say it and you can feel yesterday's lunch coming back. All right.
The saddest and most disgusting part of this whole story is I thought she was shopping for naughty underwear for Sean, so that makes me worse.
And my 3-year-old needs some naughty underthings, sir.
Aren't you out of underoos yet?
Do you have anything especially enticing for my baby?
All right. Well, that's pretty much the gist of it. The 16-month-old Todd accompanied Brittany in the shop in L.A. where she is thought to have bought racy underwear for Valentine's Day for her new boyfriend, Isaac Cohen.
I think she's already dumped him. Is that trashy lingerie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, Lisa and I almost stepped in there when we were in L.A.
That's
we
a cool place.
By.
I've actually been there.
It's just like the parking was so hideous, like horrible, that we just couldn't stop. We couldn't find any place to park.
I went there because Laura has a friend who at one point worked there, and I don't know, it's kind of a famous place, and you know, you gotta like a place called Trashy Lingerie, so I went in there. But I'm just such a dumb guy, and that I can't tell. I can't tell why lingerie, why some of it's expensive and why some of it's not, and when it's good and when it's just. I think that probably Scotty and I are on the same page.
Yeah, when
it's just a whole lot of. It's just a whole lot of confusion to me on the lingerie front. That's one of those things that women buy, which is, and I understand this, and this is the thing I understand, that women are very much I don't know, that women very much buy a lot of those things for themselves, so, which is just as well, because men know what the hell they're doing. All right, here's, that's your Britney watch for Tuesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
There's something I want you to have.
See, my problem is this.
Let's see. Aaron emails Rick. First, you and Sarah. I hope he says. Well, I don't know whether he's referring to me and Sarah or not. He just says, first, you two need to kiss and make up. Because the only other option is that I'm kissing Scotty. Can I get you in the mouth? As you, I need to get that soundbite. Seriously, if someone can send me the Scotty soundbite from Boogie Nights where he goes, can I get you in the mouth? The hundreds of times that would have come in handy in the past week. He says, as hearing you fight makes me flash back to my parents arguing. If this keeps up, I'm going to start cutting all over again. And then he says he'd like to point out the fact that when the phrase huge egos was spoken, Scott Daly was inspired to call and mention me. Let's not forget that it was Scott Daly who drunkenly told a stripper, and I was there for this, Scott Daly from Film Fever Radio, who drunkenly told a stripper at Safari, you know I'm famous, right? Which he did. He and Clyde both said that to strippers. To strippers who could not care less about your ass. And I don't mean you guys. I mean anybody. Anyone. Strippers could not possibly care less about all of our asses. It's just an ATM with hands.
As long as you wave a bunch of money while you're saying that's you're famous, then you're real famous.
Yeah, meet with a wallet. You know I'm famous, right? Only to be shot down like so many space invaders. Let's see. And if Scotty J is looking for towel snappings, I know plenty of places that'd be more than happy to help him. yeah, there you go.
I don't want to fight anymore, Rick.
I don't want to fight anymore. I'm sorry, were you leading into something there?
No.
Okay.
I guess you singing.
Rick, the sudden hostilities between you all could be caused by a hex put on the studio. Quick, have it cleansed. We ought to have Clyde come in and do some sort of cleansing ritual on Monday. I'm sure Clyde knows someone. That's from Salves. Let's see, what else do we have?
I'm going to play a nice, happy song to break.
You and Sarah.
Hey, Rick.
Here's a recurring theme. You and Sarah sound just like my parents. Consisting of dad sniping at mom, mom getting mad, dad proclaiming his innocence. Thank you so much for bringing my childhood traumas back to life. Happy place, happy place, happy place. How about this? Rick, even my brother said you've been acting mental. I just thought you were being extra loopy for comedy effect. Yeah, because it's been hilarious. Because it's been a big chuckle of a bundle of chuckles for the entire room. Everybody's just found it grin-inducing. Maybe I'm crazy, too. You could save a whole pile of money if you just have a listener party and confess everything to them. Yeah, how could that go wrong? The Emerson Army would fix your emotional situation in a heartbeat. P.S. Maybe your hair is too tight. Yes?
Well, Scotty was saying how we should have a therapist on, the show just to, analyze our feelings. I don't think I'm comfortable with that because I really do think that you and I both do have really deep-seated issues that probably would come out on the air and then the show would never be the same.
If when? If what?
Scotty thinks that we should have had a therapist, a therapy session on air.
Scotty?
I'm an idea man.
Okay, what is your idea?
Well, first of all, I think we should have Clyde come in with some incense.
I think we ought to have Clyde come in and do some weird, witchy nutcase blessing of the studio. I recognize the entertainment value in that, yes.
I was thinking, maybe once a month or every once in a while, you could have a real therapist come in here and befuddle you.
I go to a real therapist. Oh, you mean as opposed to the listeners?
Yeah, just...
You mean as opposed to the listeners who are just pulling just things out of their ass?
Flat out say something to you that actually catches you off guard. It'd be interesting to see what happens.
That's fantastic. That doesn't sound like some sort of hideous destruction of all of our lives in the making. That sounds...
too deep.
You know what that is? That's the emotional how much water can you drink without whizzing. That's exactly what that is. Well, it seemed like a great idea. We thought a therapist would come in and prod Sarah until she revealed something embarrassing.
Drink some more.
Yeah, see, that's exactly what that is. I don't know. Don't people have breakdowns? No, just keep... Come on. Tell me about your father. So, anyway, all right.
Well, what can we talk about that's happy?
I don't know. At this point, I just have nothing. Let's see. How about this? So, is Rick going to have a mental breakdown or what? Come on. they're just waiting. Everybody assumed it. Well, it's like, I remember when I went to see Guns N' Roses in the Kingdom in 1991. It was Guns N' Roses and Metallica, and the DJs that were on KISW, I think, at that time, they were doing the top 10 reasons to see Guns N' Roses. And of course, because they didn't go on till like 2 a.m. and it was the top 10 reasons to stick around. And it was that the number one reason was just everybody, you would go to see Guns N' Roses just on the off chance that might be the night that Axl just snapped and lost it. Rick seems to be more and more crazy every day. It seems like there is, I'm just saying, I think that every time I read one of these and you go, then it becomes a self. I'm just saying, when you mentioned December,
I have confidence in you.
It becomes this self-replicating thing. It becomes this recurring cycle where they say that I'm crazy and you go, and then I go, well, maybe, and then it just becomes a thing that everybody believes.
Stop saying that you're crazy. I haven't said you're crazy. I said that you're having a mental breakdown.
I'm pretty sure you've called me crazy like at least 5 times today.
Oh.
It seems like there was something...
I didn't realize that the knife cut so deep, Rick Emerson.
Why are you talking like Scotty? Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, there's something here about me squeezing something. And then this email just says, Rick, you are an ass. You are hateful, horrible, and just plain mean to Scotty J.
That is not true. They do not see our group hugs during the break.
And then it says, keep up the good work. All right. 503-733-2970. Let's see. We have two things. Do we have, suburban perspective or top five? Sarah?
Let's do the suburban perspective.
All right. Scotty is holding up a huge, crudely written sign that says, do the top five. Let's do the suburban perspective. I agree. Thank you, Sarah. Sarah and I can still agree on the important things.
No problem. Right. We need to unite against the common front.
It's the common enemy that is Scotty J.
We don't need to be bickering against each other.
You can bicker against me.
Baby, let's not fight.
I don't have any thoughts today. That's the problem.
Can I just tell you? No, look, all kidding aside, can I just tell you? Here's the thing. Is that I went to the shrink last night. And you know, because you talked to me as I was standing on the steps.
I talked to you right before.
And we weren't fighting, but you were a little cranky because of...
And I told you I was cranky.
Because of the PMS and the so forth. And I'm not trying to bring it up to poke fun. I'm just saying. And then we'd had a stressful day.
No, I wasn't aware during the day yesterday that I was cranky until I was so...
Like, you should have asked.
I was so incredibly mad.
Why don't you start by asking each day, am I cranky?
You know, like when I'd be driving around in my car and somebody would be going the speed limit and I just found that totally impractical and I'd zip around and I'd glare at them as I'm passing. Who do you think you are? Cut the road.
Everything infuriates you?
Everything.
Like, have you ever done
people
this?
People standing too close, people talking too loud.
Oh, God. People violating your personal space by standing 3 inches away from you and bellowing. People who speak indoors in their outdoor voice constantly. People who,
Now, did you drop Rick off at his session yesterday?
No.
Yeah, and then she pinned a note to my sleeve. And then she made me a goddamn sandwich with a crust cut off.
A note to your back. Kick me.
Sorry. Okay, I just let Sarah and I talk for a while. Why don't you sit over there and assemble some thoughts?
I'm going to drink my coffee.
Sarah, can you drop me off at the shrink tonight?
Like you wouldn't ask that.
Anyway, so I went to the shrink and I just, and you know,
did you feel like this week went better than last?
No, I don't.
Feel like you're not just, because I've been to a shrink before that you just don't click with.
That's two things. One, and I hate to say this because I don't know, maybe he's listening. So sorry.
Wendy never listens.
Sorry if you're listening. Well, and
it made me sad.
No, and he knows I'm on the radio because I always have to tell, and not to show off. I always tell all my shrinks that, not to be like, did you know I'm famous? Did you know that I know Scott Daly? That's not why I do it. I do it because I know the Scotty J. I always tell my shrinks I'm on the radio because everything has to be viewed through that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because that does just add a whole different flavor to any and all problems. Just not that it makes my problems bigger or harder or more untenable than anybody else's, but there is a different flavor to any kind of problem, whether it's job stress or family stress or relationship stress or money stress or whatever stress people have. Your job or the kind of work you do, everything is reflected. Everything is, you know, it is like a spice in a food. Everything has that sort of, you know, that ingredient in it. Anyway, so, and I mean, it's not like it'd be too difficult. There's only like 5 live people in this whole city. I mean, everybody else, they fired so many people in Portland that I'm one of like 3 live radio programs left in the entire freaking city. So it's not like it would be that hard to figure out who I am anyway. So I don't know, maybe he's listening, maybe he's not. So if you're listening,
please turn off.
Please, if you're listening, just please to be turning off the radio now, shrink of mine, because I've gone for like 2 weeks and I just, man, I'm just not, it just doesn't get me.
Maybe he doesn't get you because you're using this experience in a different way since you've been trying to make all the other shrinks fall in love with you the entire time. Now you're actually having to talk about your problems and it's a little uncomfortable.
I don't know. It's like I want him... Oh, this just sounds so effed up. This sounds so effed up. I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay, well, let's talk to Scotty J then.
I'm just saying... I don't know. It's like, you know, the deal with shrinks is they're supposed to be, non-judgmental, right? I mean, there's enough, I have a lot of therapists who listen to us. There are therapists who listen, who email their observations. So maybe I'm wrong about this, but the deal with shrinks is they're always supposed to be non-judgmental. And he's made enough, I don't know. I just want, this sounds so, gay. This sounds so gay and just so.
You want him to hug you?
No, I don't want him to hug me.
You want him to think you're funny?
You gotta quit stopping. You gotta quit talking about people hugging me.
I really think you just need a hug.
I don't want anybody to hug me.
If you learn how to hug, then maybe things would be different for
I'm
you.
I'm afraid to hug!
Did he pass candy out at the end of the session?
Did he give me candy? Sweet, sweet candy? Does he have those bowls full of, like, a little hard candy balls?
Can you give me your bowls full of your candy balls? Yes, I want my big black shrink to give me bowls full of his candy balls. No, I just want him to be, I know that this sounds all queer. I just want him to be rougher with me. That's the thing. How could that sound gay? I just want him to, like...
You don't want to be coddled. You don't want to be babied. You want someone to give you a slap in the face and be like,
yes,
you need to get over Rick Anderson.
That's what I need. I just want him to, like, grab me and it's like, stop it, man! Like,
you shouldn't be seeing a shrink. You should be seeing a dominatrix.
There's a thought.
Here's my question. Are you honest with him, or are you kind of putting on the show still, or do you feel comfortable enough with him at this time, since he's new, that you are actually going to tell him things that are deep down inside?
You know what's completely effing me up is that you just asked, like, a completely logical and reasonable question that was perfectly phrased, and I can't... You are freaking me out!
When it comes to this kind of stuff, you know, relationships and champagne, I can talk to you.
Why do you have to turn everything all gay again? To answer your question, I am honest with him because I learned early on is that for a long time, years ago, I would just go to shrinks just to be the wacky guy.
Mm-hmm.
I go there and be, look at me, look how funny I am. And I think I do still do a little of that, but that's just because, but not in a way that is deceitful or deceptive. I mean, I still am probably kind of over the top and sort of like, come on, you know, because that's just who I am. But I don't put it on. I don't think I'm that way because I'm on the radio. I think I'm on the radio because I'm that way. And so... It's so creepy to have this suburban perspective music playing behind my shrink session. But I think that is just kind of how I naturally am. But it's like in The Godfather, which I know Sarah hasn't seen.
Have you seen The Godfather?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know if Nate had made you watch it or whatever.
I watched it a long time ago. My dad owns it. I haven't seen The Godfather Part 3. I've seen
it. Don't see The Godfather Part 3. It's like when Johnny Fontaine is sitting there talking to Don Corleone. He's going, Godfather, I just don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this man, Waltz. He won't give me the part. Well, I don't know what to do. And Don Corleone, Vito Corleone, slaps and goes, you can act like a man! Is this how you turned out? A Hollywood whatever that cries like a woman? You know, and then he gives him, and he just like, and that's what I want. It's like, I just want him to like grab me and just kind of like whack me a few times and just tell me to get my crap together. And it's like, and he just won't do it. But that's their whole thing, right? As therapists, they're just not supposed to, they're not, like, no matter what. So Rick, what are your hang-ups? And I say, well, I cut up cheerleaders and I hide them in my crawl space, John. And then, you know, the other thing I do is, I send letter bombs, you know, whatever it is. I don't send letter bombs, but you know, whatever it is. And he kind of goes, And so why do you, how does that make you feel when you send letter bombs? Well, I shouldn't do it. Yeah, I'm feeling really conflicted about all those cheerleaders in my crawl space. And then he kind of goes, Well, you know, what I'm hearing from you is that there's some turbulence caused by this. And I'm just sitting there going, will you please? Maybe I just need him to punch me once.
You should tell him what you need.
It's kind of weird that I keep wanting to phrase it this way, too, because what I almost just said is like, I just want him to abuse me.
You know what, Rick, you should totally, if you're paying as much, you know, as much money as I
do. You have no idea.
Exactly.
You have no idea.
Then you owe it to yourself and to him to just be straightforward and... tell him that you don't think that the tactic he's taking is working.
Yeah, well, I just...
And see if he can do it or not. If not, go find another guy to beat you up.
Scotty's going to say something homoerotic.
I think Sarah is 100% correct in this situation. First of all, when you go to visit a new shrink, it takes a couple of sessions to kind of get to know
him.
Why
do you know this? Have you gone to a shrink?
Absolutely.
What did you go to a shrink for?
Just, you know, I had problems in my marriage, and I have my own problems.
Now, if I may ask, and it's not my business, but if I may ask, now, did you go by yourself, or
yes.
Was it a couple thing?
We tried the couple thing, but it was totally, you know, because there was a time when we were, you know, not sure how our relationship was going to grow any further, if you will, and we went to a shrink of her choice, and this guy was totally on her side. And so, you know, I hate shrinks, blah, blah, blah. I decided to go see somebody that somebody referred to me, a little something about something, and we sat down, and I actually got something out of it. But it took a couple of sessions to actually get to know the guy. And then after a while, it wasn't just turning my words around anymore, because it sounds to me like that's what this guy is doing to you.
Well, because that's what they do when they don't know what else to say. When they do,
exactly.
It's like Dennis. No disrespect to Dennis, but that's what sales guys do, too. When they don't know what else to say, they just say your own crap back to you.
Yeah.
And it's, you know,
it doesn't help.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, yeah. I'm all fixed now.
Yeah. Look at me. I'm sure everybody's going to line up for whoever that therapist was. Fantastic. Should we break?
Yeah.
All right, let's break here. It's the top of the hour. We'll break. We'll come back. More from Scotty J., Dennis Pitzenbarger, the Suburban Perspective,
song,
the top five. Are you going to play something happy? Play something?
Yes.
Play something that'll take me back to a simpler time, Sarah Dillon.
All right.
All right, fantastic. Back after this is the Rick Emerson. What is this?
Could it bring somebody down?
What is this?
Super Drag?
This is going to be some kill myself music. Back after this, the Rick Emerson radio program. Stay there.